Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came, neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, friend of tax collectors and of sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her children." The Gospel of the Lord. Pope John Paul II was really anxious to canonize the great martyrs of Korea. This is sort of a large group of people over a very long period of time, better than 100 years, mostly starting like in the middle, late 1700s, right up till almost 1900. And the reason he was because they were almost all lay people. Unlike most martyrs, who are often clergy or religious because we're kind of public-y Christian characters, in Korea, the church was almost entirely lay-led. And that's because the Koreans who were converted during the Japanese invasion in the 1700s. They got Bibles, and they got catechisms, and they got exactly zero priests. And it wasn't until several decades later, when the first priests were able to sneak into Korea, that they found thousands of Christians waiting for them, already knowledgeable about the sacraments and anxious, especially, to receive Holy Communion. Christians who knew about Holy Communion and knew what it meant and had waited their whole lives just to receive it. The government of Korea was especially, at the time, now also but differently, was especially hostile towards the church, and the reason was it was Confucian by sort of proclamation. And Confucius was very keen on public order. Things had to be neat and clean, and he couldn't deal very well with the messiness that often accompanied human life. He was on the John the Baptist side of the children in today's equation, right? So they were singing a dirge, nobody was weeping. They were really, really disciplined, but because of their discipline, struggled with people's imperfections. Of course, there's an alternative to being super disciplined, which might be something like what we encounter now, which is like being radically undisciplined and not holding anybody accountable for anything. The church always tries to hone us right down the middle. There needs to be order, discipline, structure to life and to church, but it's not always neat and easy. And sometimes life gets messy, and it's precisely in those messy moments that God has the opportunity to break through. I remember very distinctly sitting in Mrs. Hamilton's religion class in seventh or eighth grade and thinking to myself, it was some martyr's feast day, God, they had it easy. All they had to do was stay faithful once. But this whole business of having to like put up with bullies in the hallway and deal with people on the playground and junior high dances and friends and whatever, it was too much, And that was at like 13. So you can imagine at 35, like, it's a different story, right? But of course, the secret to the martyr's courage and the only way they're able to stay faithful in those moments where it really counts is because of all of the little martyrdoms that they endured throughout their lives. Those little moments where they figured out when to hold and when to fold. Those little moments where they suffered rather than yield, either to temptation on the one hand or to failure in the faith on the other, which is the reason that the church calls the blood of the martyrs the seed of Christians. It's not only the seed of the church, once they die. The blood of the martyrs seeds the church, especially while they're still alive, sitting in the pews or standing at the altar, suffering just a little bit more each day for their salvation and the salvation of the world.